Good morning, councillors. Firstly, I hope that 2022 will be a great year for all of us and things will settle down with all the COVID issues that's happening. But at the moment, we need to deal with it. The mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on the council's website. Now, due to COVID, councillors are asked to remain in their seats, in their positions, throughout the meeting, distances at all times. Your meals and morning tea will be plated by staff and brought to you. There's no out there area to go get coffees and teas. They will be in here. So you will be waited on, basically. So they're the new rules of the day. So any questions with that? We have to wear... Good morning, Captain. We have to wear our masks at all times. Be good people and stay in our seats. And as I said before Councillor walked in, that you will be waited on. Staff will bring you your morning tea. Staff will plate up your meals and bring to you. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, past, present and future. Those present, Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Archer, Councillor Bowden's apology, Councillor Honour is here, Councillor Hoare, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Campbell, General Manager, and Janet on the minute. Pecuniary interest declaration. In accordance with Regulation 87 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Mayor requests councillors to indicate whether they or a close associate have or are likely to have a pecuniary interest, any pecuniary or detriment or conflict of interest in any item on the agenda. There is an item coming through that you may not be aware of yet, Councillor Bailey, but it's the golf club in closed session, so...
That won't affect me, he's only got to...
It will affect you because you're involved with the golf club, so you probably would be safe to declare interest. It would be in your best interest. Otherwise, I'll just ask you to leave the room.
Yeah, well, can't I sit back and listen to what he's got to
say? No, I will be asking you to leave the room.
So you're getting a bit confused with David.
Not David Jones.
David Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who was the other one?
It's a closed session for the golf club.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah, fair enough, I didn't know that.
Yep. Okay, so is there any pecuniary declarations? No?
Well, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, sorry. I didn't.
Pop that down now, General Manager. Thank you, Councillor Bailey.
Mayor, can I just make a statement? I've, my iPad's frozen and I haven't been able to access correspondence through the iPad, I'm sorry.
I was just mentioning before that if you haven't got your new iPad, if you go to Katrina after the council meeting, she will give you your new iPad.
Thank so
you.
You have a copy of the agenda?
Yes, I've get normal printed documents, but there are non-items. I haven't had the chance to read them, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And twice I thought I'd had it fixed and it just dies again.
Okay. Thank you. 6. Closed session of the meeting. Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Meetings Regulation 2015 states that at a meeting, a council by absolute majority or a council committee by simple majority may close a part of the meeting to the public for a reason specified in regulated sub-regulation 2. As per Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, this motion requires an absolute majority. that pursuant to Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government meeting procedures, Regulation 2015 Council by absolute majority close the meeting to the public to consider the following matters in the closed session. One will be the confirmation of the minutes of the 7th of December. Two will be legal advice. Three will be consideration of matters for this project to the public.
And then can we add items on the supplementary closed agenda?
And the item on the supplementary closed agenda. We'll add that as number 4. All right, I will move both Councillor Honour and Councillor Campbell. Okay, and that is carried. And the judge unplug it, so to speak. Not the worst, then. Okay, guys. Okay, councillors, I'll open the meeting to the public. COVID-19, a limit for 4 members of the public at one time will be applied. We do have deputations coming in at 10:15 and 10:30. Welcome, Group Services Manager Jason and DF Manager Graham. Public question time. We do have someone in the discussion, don't we? Where is it? Oh, sorry. I can't see you, I'm sorry. Did you have anything to ask or comment in public question time?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. We go into 8 mayor commitments, 8.1 councillor commitments, status of councillors, 8.2 general manager's commitments, who's been on annual leave, 8.3 deputy general manager's commitments, notification of council workshops held. 9.1 future workshops. I was wondering whether councillors are interested in having a future workshop, I don't mean tomorrow, having a future workshop to get to understand their new iPad a little better, or certainly would. So can I get back to you with a date for a workshop to get to Stephen Conrad, could we have been, or?
Paul, I don't know whether Stephen
Conrad or Katrina. There seems to be. I actually don't think it's the iPad that's the problem, it's the software in them. I'm still not able to send emails to someone that I haven't received an email from. And it's Katrina can't find the problem, Adam can't find the problem. My kids who are tech savvy can't find the problem.
Hopefully that problem will be there with your new iPad.
But it's still got the same program. I'll try the new one, but I do think we need a workshop,
the
IT, an IT workshop.
We'll have an IT workshop date to be confirmed. We'll get an email around councillors on a couple of dates that we can do, hopefully. So that will be a future workshop. Mayoral announcements. Now, with the Ouse footbridge, as you know, that's been in disrepair for some time, and in December, after conversation with the Minister Ferguson, he wrote a letter to Mayor Louise. I refer to your call on the 30th November regarding concerns about the closure of the footbridge in Ouse. I appreciate that the community is concerned about the closure of the bridge after it was damaged in the recent severe weather event. The Department of State Growth has advised me that structural assessments of the footbridge are ongoing and remediation works on the bridge are expected to start in the new year. Further advice on the likely completion date will be provided when it's available. I trust this information clarifies the matter you have raised. So I was after an update about this yesterday, talking with the Minister's Office and with State Growth, and after several phone calls with Richard Wilson, the Senior advisor for Michael Ferguson. He then sent the email, Dear Mayor, as discussed on the phone just now, I have contacted the General Manager of State Roads asking for an update on the Ouse footbridge work, which I understand were to have commenced in early 2022. I hope that you receive a contact from the department soon to provide you with that update. And then I received from Denise McIntyre, General Manager of State Roads. Good afternoon, Mayor Trippett. I'm just confirming our phone conversation this afternoon, and I understand you are aiming to report progress to your council at tomorrow's meeting. The advice I have from our assets team is that the bridge was inspected by bridge engineers and contractors in December, when water levels dropped, and they have confirmed the damage is to Pier 2 footing. A scope of work to remove the debris and repair the pier has been developed. Water will need to be kept away from the pier for the work to be carried out. Our contractors are working through the development deed and have consulted with Hydro Tab. The contractors are currently booked in to undertake the work commencing on the 31st of January 2022, and the work is expected to take 3 weeks to complete. Please let me know if you require further information. So that's the update, and I guess we just keep an eye on the progress. It is a worry because a lot of our residents are in the community that footbridge and people going over to the medical centre, so we'll keep busy about that one. Minutes, 11.1, receiving of minutes on the 7th draft minutes of ordinary meeting of council held on the 7th of December 2022. Councillor Honour, Councillor Campbell, for, against, that is carried. Convocation draft minutes of ordinary meeting 7th of December. Move of leave, Councillor Four, second of Councillor Cassidy, for, against, that is carried. Receiving of minutes of the annual general meeting. Move of leave, Councillor Honour, Councillor Bailey, for, against. Receivable draft minutes of the Bicentennial Workforce Group meeting. Councillor Campbell, Councillor Honour, for, against. That is carried. Where all this business arises. 13 is Derwent Catchment Project Report. The Derwent Catchment Project monthly report we received. The attachments, page 29. Thank you, Councillor Allwright. Councillor Poor, for, against, that is carried. Is there any discussion of the Derwent Catchment Report? All good. 14, finance report. The finance reports were received. You have the finance reports, Councillor Campbell. You move that. And second, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Campbell, Councillor Cassidy.
Also, I'm going to ask Naya about the finance report. I noticed that the letter.
I can't hear you, sorry.
On our finance report, I just wanted to ask about the drop there, about $2,260,000. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
Just looking at the bottom line there, you know, 2020, there 11,864,000, and 2021, end of 2021, it's 2,260,000 less.
Yeah, a lot of that could be timing issues. I'd need to go back and investigate.
So we can take that to David and ask David, I guess.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions to do with finance report? And Chapter 15, Development and Environmental Services. In accordance with Regulation 15.1 of the Borough Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Mayor advises that Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 to deal with the following items. Welcome to you, Manager Graham.
Thank you, Mayor.
My name is Councillor River. Councillor Bailey, Councillor Cassidy. For, against, that is carried. And we have the first one, Central Island Global Region Scheduled Landscape Protection Issue. And we've got a region notes.
Okay. Unfortunately, Dave didn't come because of protocols that put into place down at Southern Midlands that prohibits at the moment of their officers actually attending our office or anything, so unfortunate. So this one here with the landscape, we won't go through that, but we'll go to straight through to the recommendations that I'm open to anybody that wants to ask any questions, because there was an email that was sent in from David, I think, again. Yes.
Has all councillors received David's emails? Yes.
Yes. No, I haven't.
Because
Councillor
Arthur
hasn't received it yet.
So David was one of the representatives that put in to do the sea.
Oh yes, you know, I spoke to David at half an hour yesterday on the matter.
Yeah, look, David's he's pretty passionate about that, but the process we're going through at the moment was to do with the local divisions where we presented representations and what the proposals were to the public. The public made submissions and went through all the right processes. Now, David is not happy where we've got to now, where we're going to basically now go to the commission on that date in April, okay, that anyone that's put in a representation can come to that meeting. It's going to be at the club rooms on that date and put their representation in. But David wants, feels very strongly that the scenic protection overlay and the scenic corridor should be introduced, but because from Damien's advice, and I strongly agree with Damien, is that it hasn't gone through the process and the commission are just going not accepted because the reports haven't been done, it hasn't come from professional people, and it hasn't gone through the process of going through the public with that display period of time. So in the recommendations, Damien is saying that no, we don't. We basically go away from that, trying to push that through now and go through the process, okay, and at a later date, we employ a person, okay, that's got an independent professional that can put the reports together, and we go through it and do it as an amendment under the planning scheme, as it happens now. It's done a lot through other counties to do that. So I would recommend that we take Damien to this and basically move the motions that Damien has put here for that and address those issues that David's brought up. And I think there's quite a few other people that have the same response as David to it, but we'll work on that later down the track.
So I'll hear Councillor Cassidy and Councillor Archer. Councillor Cassidy?
Well, my view is that there is a mechanism that the Tasmania Planning Commission has accepted, or yeah, and that's Section 35K of the Act. And so, if they've already acknowledged that, then why can't we use it? So, I think that the problem that I have with trying to do it after the fact and after it's been approved, it's going to be much harder for us to amend. Now, you know, let me ask you, Or maybe I'll just take my own case. You know, I came here to live in the Central Highlands because it's a very beautiful place. What does the Central Highlands municipality really have going for itself? Tourism. Tourism is the bottom line, you know, the draw card. People come for fishing, come for all sorts of recreational activities. They're talking about, you know, a new bike track up at the lake and so on and so forth. So I think for us to turn our back on the opportunity to enhance the tourism opportunities or protect those tourism opportunities, I think we're making a mistake. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, so why not? And I'm gonna put a motion forward. I'm gonna go along with some of what David has said here. I would like to. Either amend this one or shadow it. I'd like A, information requested by the Tasmanian Planning Commission supplied, that is an amended summary table, an overlay map, and a list of effective titles. That overlay map already exists. So there's not much more that needs to be done to that. Insofar as all the professional stuff that's going on, I think that's all delaying tactics. Okay, B, I say the advice of the Tasmanian Planning Commission that the scenic protection of Central Highlands, again, back to the tourism values, is supported, including proposed scenic protection area, should be treated as an amendment and allowed by the Tasmanian Planning Commission under that Section 35K of the Act to allow a refinement of the proposal proposed provisions of the Scenic Protection Act area, rather, overlay areas, and review those, and expert input, and landowner, and public consultation are made. All that can be done, and we should give it an opportunity. We still have the time to exercise this, and I think we should do it. We should at least test the waters.
So with the motion, Councillor Cassidy, I'll take a seconder and then I'll go back and hear Councillor Archer before I put it across the table. So do I have a seconder for that?
Councillor
Orr. Now we'll go back to Councillor Archer and then it's Councillor Orr before I put the motion across. Councillor Archer.
Mayor, I was concerned. I've had numerous phone calls from a gentleman who prepared a very detailed submission, and I think it's one of the most detailed submissions we've actually received in our review of the planning scheme, and I commend him for doing that. And I wanted further information, so I rang Damien myself, and I don't really concur necessarily with Graham's interpretation of what Damien was saying. I think basically you're right, but the outcomes are reflected in what he's proposing. But what he did say was that we'd already had a discussion on this in the Cabinet and the Council meeting back in November, when there was general support for not including this at this stage in the Central Highlands Planning Scheme. But what Damien went on further to say that he had sought advice from the Planning Commission in regard to this. I think there's a 32 or whatever it is.
There's 35.
He'd sought advice as to whether this would be covered under that scope and was advised it would not. Now, I went back to the gentleman again who was making the suggestions that we need to be more serious and perhaps look at changing the language as Robert's done, and said to him, well, you know, this we're getting the view from our planner, who we've got a lot of faith in, that this isn't necessarily covered. I'll use an example in the Northwest where 35 was adopted under other grounds. And he said, well, how specific were they? What's the language? Did they write it to just fit those grounds, for instance? And so I would like to endorse what Damien's saying in terms of supporting his motion rather than the revised motion, because he has done the work. He thinks that there is a case for getting the scenic protection overlay done, but to do that we would need to pay consultants, and he wants to come back. And so what he's not actually saying is we're going to go ahead and do this study, but he wants to get costing done on to pay an independent consultant. he doesn't feel comfortable, that's not his field, looking at this environmental protection zones, that area, whereas the planner who put it forward for the Northwest Coast, that was his understanding, is he was prepared to accept that as his own area of expertise, so we have to get independent people to do that. But what he's actually asking is not that we do it, but that he comes back to us and say, this is what it costs to do it, and in his view, that's what we should be doing based upon this cost, and if we want to get it up. And so just to, so I'm really just clarifying Damien's motion, I think, and speaking in support of the original motion that was put before us.
Councillor Orlon.
I think I'm agreeing with Anthony and the motion, Damien's motion. I mean, I moved last meeting, and Councillor Cassidy seconded, that we explore we didn't actually say we do it. We've got to explore it. So part of the exploration process is see how much it's going to cost, find someone to do the report. We have to know what it's going to look like. Like, what are the restrictions on the land owners that are affected? Like, if someone can't build a hay shed because it's in a scenic protection area, well, this is an agricultural area. It's a no-brainer.
And through the chair, that's where the process is that it goes out to community consultation because it could affect landowners. But that's where, as Councillor Archer was saying, a professional person, the independent person that hasn't got an interest in it, and that includes council, we couldn't do our own reports because we would have an interest in developments in the Highlands, and David, and I'm not being disrespectful, wants that in there because he doesn't want to see development in there in those areas, so that's why it's going to be that independent professional person that puts that case there that then goes to the community and through the steps of what we've been going through for the last 2 years.
But not only that, we need to get a list of all of the affected property owners.
Yeah.
And I understand it's not that many that are actually affected, but we should at least get the list, and we should at least do the background, do the homework.
Okay. Well, for council, as I have taken the motion, and I have had a seconder, which was Councillor Honour, moved by Councillor Cassidy, seconded by Councillor Honour, I need to put the motion forward. I'll record for and against because it sounds like around the table there's differences of opinion. Differences of opinion. So I will record those for and those against so we know where we are with this. So I'll start with, this is for Councillor Cassidy's motion, moved by Councillor Cassidy, obviously before, and second by Councillor Omar, also for. So I'll go around the table. Councillor Campbell, for or against this motion?
Against that motion.
Thank you. Campbell. Councillor Bailey, for or
against? Yeah, I'm against.
Councillor Bailey. Councillor Cassidy's for. Councillor Campbell, you're for. Councillor Archer.
I'm against.
Councillor
Orr. I guess.
And I was actually four. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 against, and we've got 3, 4 that motion. That motion is lost.
So we go to Damien's recommendation now.
We go back to Damien.
Can I move the recommendation?
We'll go back to Damien's recommendation. I'll record again for and against. Alrighty. So the recommendation was moved by Councillor Orr. Who seconded that?
Councillor Bailey.
Councillor Bailey. Okay, so we've got Councillor Orr and Bailey. Councillor Archer, for or against that recommendation?
I'm for Damien's motion.
Councillor Archer. Councillor Honour?
Against.
Councillor Court? Councillor Cassidy?
I'm against.
Against? Councillor Bailey, you seconded. Councillor Campbell? For. And myself, who is against. Okay, so the fours, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the against, 1, 2, 3. So the motion goes through. That was fun, wasn't it? Thank you. Okay, 15.2.
Is discussed as you were in that last one. So the first week in April has been set. The Waffle Club Rooms has got an upgraded internet connection now, so we should be able to do over there. So we'll get a big screen put up. So Damien, I would assume, will be our member, planning member, that will represent council. If you've read through that bit there, there can be a representative from the planning authority, but as Damien said, that's very unusual for that to happen. But that's up to you guys sitting here, whether you wanted to elect someone, but they have to nominate what part they're representing, as in they have to supply the information and their expertise in that area and some things to do that. My recommendation would be that we just leave Damien as being our officer to deal with that, and as indicated on there, whoever made a representation can come in. There's 5 days set aside. Hopefully we don't have to go through the 5 days. That will be, it's for information only noted, but that we, yeah, I suppose
we'll have some further communication, won't we?
Oh, sure. As we get it, we'll just pass it on to everyone, that's just information to be noted. Moved by, seconded by.
So could I have a move to the information noted, Councillor Honour, Councillor Moore? Those four are going to carry. I'm sorry, Graham.
That's all right, Mr. Chair.
So, could I have a move to go back to the deputations, please? Move the agenda, Councillor Honour, Councillor Campbell. Those four.
When does Council actually need the names by?
I would say once I talk today, maybe today or tomorrow, I'll have a chat with him. Discuss that, but I would say any time those things. So as soon as we confirm, we'll just pass it on to you guys.
Okay. So we don't need to come back to you by February with areas of expertise or
no. So. Okay. Now councillors, we've got a very special guest here today. Welcome to Westaway Primary School students and their teacher, Ms. Salisworth, and Ms. Ransby. Yes. Firstly, thank you for coming along. And what we'll do now, what's the young student's name, please? Welcome. And what I'll do, I'll run around the table so you meet each councillor. So I've got Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Archer, Councillor Honour, Councillor Poore, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Campbell, General Manager Lynn Isles, and behind us is Janet, who takes all the minutes, very busy. And we really are excited to hear your points of view. We've had your letters here, and what a wonderful job you've done with all the letters. You've taken the time, you've gave us ideas, information, and one thing I did get out of reading your letters, I clearly understand that we do need some new equipment, and I clearly also understand that we need to do something for the bigger kids. And I even know what a zip line is, so that's pretty exciting for myself. What we'll do now is perhaps someone in your group would like to speak to council. Who would like to do that? would like to have a chat. You can come up here with to me if you like. No, it's gone.
So at Ellendale at the moment we don't have much equipment, so we're looking to get some better stuff for the older kids, because not too long ago we did get a little fund put in a playground for the younger kids, but nothing for the older kids. So I've got some images of play equipment and the price that maybe we could look at putting in. So it's called the Gorilla Plus, and it's only $3,180. And it's got some swings and some monkey bars and some flying things on it.
Wow, that's very good, having a young student come along and present to council. It's a pretty exciting time for the student and for us. Thank you very much.
May I ask a question?
Would you like to leave that for four?
Thank you. We'll get that to the general manager, and over there's Works and Services. We're watching him too. Okay, Councillor Cassidy, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do. Young man, may I ask, do you know what the NY stands for on your ball cap?
New York.
That's right. I was born in New York. Okay? So we have a little something in common. Very, very nice presentation. Thank you.
Very good. Councillor Paul.
Just with regard to that, what was the cost of that again, please?
$3,180.
Could we possibly put a recommendation forward that they apply for a community grant for that money?
They're aware of the grants, and we will discuss afterwards, because we do have some money allocated as well. So, Mrs. Brandt.
The boys did go to a meeting with Salvation Army, and they have actually got Salvation Army donated $1,500 towards it.
Excellent.
So that's sitting there waiting.
And that's where you're coming from,
yeah,
Joseph.
Thank you.
There's some discussion about some equipment for the older kids, so does that, that Jason's got now, does that include that sort of stuff? That seems to be just primary school kids.
It's a proposal to.
So you look at the zip line. Is that on that or?
So there's two there that the boys found. The first one's obviously the one that they would love. A zip line is just a triangle.
Yeah, I understand what that is, Shannon, but it's not on that brochure there, is it?
It's might be on the second one.
Oh, yes, there's another.
There is a
zip line on that one. Yeah. So not all I'm saying is that I don't think it's valuable just to do something for this age group. You want to do something for everybody.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. The second one, although it's a lot, it's another couple of thousand euro, there is another one on the second page, and that has got younger kids climbing stuff as well.
Yeah, well, that might be better.
Now, has your netball hoop been fixed yet?
No.
Okay. That was supposed to be fixed. That's fell through the hoop. Another thing that we need to think about as well is that everything council puts there, of course, will be safety equipment, where we have to often pay a few more dollars to make it safe equipment. So that's where it's important that Jason's involved in choosing what we install. Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, I would like to move a motion that council grant the school $5,000.
Well, yes, we can move motion to after the deputation. Put that on the list, please. Deputations at the moment.
Okay.
And then we can have a full discussion. So, with all your letters, studying them, as I said, there's different things, you've got different ideas, you've got things that we should have for primary kids and things for the older kids. You've mentioned bike tracks, things like that, and developing the park. So there could be where we need to really consider developing the park into a much more child-friendly barbecue area. I'm sure councillors around the table would agree to that.
In my paper, I think obviously out there at Elbow, it's in Leather and Buck Park, no doubt.
Yep.
So even with the existing equipment that's there, I think that was in the fire report installed back in 2009, I believe. So in those infrastructure community grants, phase three, with the projects that the general manager and I have to put forward to council, we have nominated Ellendale playground upgrade. That's something that if council passed, but obviously it won't be until the following year. But, you know, we're talking, I think we put down in the range of $55,000 for the upgrade, which Gregor and Hamilton had in previous years. And then we could reinstate and remove the smaller type of play equipment that's there, maybe. And then with that old timber, the real old existing play equipment, you can remove that and definitely put something like this in as well. And I think we allowed enough in that just to revamp that or just to install a backboard, basketball ring and a tennis court as well.
Bearing in mind that, you know, I think the equipment like what's in the Hamilton Park here is $50,000. So, Jason would have to sort of investigate.
With that, probably I can't look at more. By the time we do the softball, the fence, you can probably put the existing one back where it was. And the softball will remove the other one and put another fence around there. So there's a bit more work, so probably have to allocate a bit more. That's one option.
So that's
if council would leave the existing infrastructure that's there and just grant this and put this in where it's where the old timber play equipment is as such now, so you could remove that and install something like this on a separate note.
So
I'm not sure, is there any concerns with the existing young play equipment? Not so much. So, that could probably stay and you could work on something like this in a basketball, basketball court. And then, open for discussion, really.
The issue is that these still make the majority of equipment now, but if we have to wait for another budget deliberation period, they'll be graduating high school by then. So I think we should let them have a little bit of fun. Let them enjoy their school years. So maybe now to just install this equipment, remove the old stuff, install the new stuff. Why not?
Councillor?
Well, I think we need to talk to the, a bit more broad community discussion, work out what we need to look like, and, it's going to go into the money that Dean was talking about. That's got to be a budget consideration. Well, we can't just plomb $5,000 worth of stuff there, and no one put any thought into, notwithstanding the deputation, no one put any thought into what they actually need to want it to look like and actually do. So, a little bit more work to do, in my opinion.
Are you saying the design?
Well, yeah, and you've got a bike track, where do you want it to go?
I'm not talking about bike track, but I mean,
these are awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, that's fine, but we could do that now. Well, we could do that now. But there's some other suggestions here as well, you see, so.
So I suppose normally when we do replace the play equipment, we normally only bring, three or four designs that we receive off quotations to council at any time.
Yeah.
And choose from those. So I'm talking about if council decides to go with this, then where the real old, because there is some old timber, swings, tyres,
So that could be removed, and there's something like this that could definitely go there.
Yeah.
And you leave the existing, you know, mid-range for yourself, yeah. But
so where do you want to put that, Shannon?
There's two places to put the secondary old things were. And then behind the field kids playground, there's another big stretch of grass that's just So there's a gap, there's
plenty of space for that, and it's got to have a fence around it. Is that what you're saying?
It's probably not a requirement because it's so far from the road.
Yeah.
So if you don't, I mean, and because it's probably going to use the larger older kids, still have that softball.
Yeah.
So, Councillor Cassidy, back to what you were going to move the motion, that equipment goes in immediately. Would that be taken by you, Councillor Paul, because you were speaking of the contribution?
And can Jason read that? Is he got the time?
I'd be immediately. I'll take the time away. Once it's ordered, this year.
If you ordered that, it would be probably 2 months turning up.
But anyway, for the motion, Councillor Cassidy, you move the motion too.
Yes.
What's your motion?
Well,
your motion, Councillor.
The motion is to go ahead and grant them the mental plus equipment. Is what you're going to want? Well, let's just do this. The mandrel plus for $5,300. I move that we grant that.
Works and services manager.
Yes. And
installation costs as well, softball and a border.
Can I just ask him the grant that the children have got from the Salvation Army, will that please contribute to that?
Yes, we'll get this motion and we'll get the agenda for that as well, Councillor. Councillor Cassidy's motion have the Works and Services, it's already been seconded, Works and Services manager to
facilitate the installation of the equipment.
And purchase. And what was it, Councillor Campbell, you wanted to add?
Do we need the grant that they've got from the Salvation Army going towards that, or can they use that for something else?
Well, maybe they could use that for something else, maybe to help the construction costs or removal costs. You know, I just think that they should just give them the money for the purchase of the equipment.
And maybe the Salvation Army put dollars for something else. Okay. All right. Well, that was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Court. Those for that motion? Is there anyone against that motion? That motion is carried. You have to be a councillor. You do well.
But just on that, installation of a packing pot, it'll be an issue. Once we all know, and I suppose at those two locations, we'll just consider and try for one.
Yeah.
I'll remove the existing stuff and put there or other than before.
Thank you very much, Emma.
Is there any questions over there for Gary?
Do you need to contact the Salvation Army, or do you want us to do that?
I think that's in your area. We haven't had anything to do with it. Anything else?
So the motion wasn't conditional on the 15 salvos. So is there another project that you can use that money on, Shannon, or something on the hall, or something on the hall, or
the backboard for the basketball?
Sorry.
The basketball in the tennis court.
It's good to get some community involved.
All right. So, Harry, would you like to come up? We've just got a tiny little parcel for you, a little bag from Central Highlands Council. And we thank you so much for coming along and invite you any time to come forward to council. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Maybe you guys could run for council somewhere. Thank you.
My concern here is that you're asking Jason to language where two of his operatives and two of his machines are probably the worst on the year for Jason.
Yep.
With regard to the upkeep he's got for the rest of the municipality. There are grants available, and I'm involved as Boswell Officer, so I know that there's grants available because we have just received some grants. You can get grants for nearly everything. If you were to go to apply for grants to certain organisations, explaining the reason why you want them, they would allocate funds to you to allow you to hire mowing people in to do this work for you on a regular basis.
I think
that's probably a better way to go rather than ask Jason Dean to allocate his spend.
I can understand that, but you'd also be aware of trying to get people to the Derwent Valley is near on impossible, whether it be building, gardening services, employees, anything. Like, it's a really... I mean, we're applying for grants to improve infrastructure, of course, to make it easier on the people that are there. But yet again, it's left down to the two of you. And I mean, the Bothwell Golf Course, I know there's a Bothwell Golf Club, and then there's the business, which is a side, but they've got two full-time green reapers over there. Which
we have one
full-time green reaper. We have Kev Rock, who's absolutely fantastic, who does work for the golf program 2 days a week and does a magnificent job. But it just gets too much at that time of year. It's not every month of the year we're asking, we're just asking for those 3 months just to help us keep on top of it and provide a community service so that people come to the district.
Councillor Ross.
The present equipment being cropped.
Yep.
So, and you've got one greenkeeper. You've got the equipment yourself.
Yes.
The priorities where we get this correct. So you're not able to keep up. So you want Jason to help. So more equipment for themselves.
No. And we wouldn't be asking for greens or any of the like technical stuff to be done. It's the rough and the bare weight, it's like mowing lawn.
Yeah.
Or mowing the sidewalks or mowing those types of things. So we're not going to ask people to get on the specialised equipment that takes heaps of doing it. It's the activity that they're used to doing.
Councillor Cassidy.
So is there anybody there who's maybe a young fellow that would like a bit of a side for pocket money for a few months? Maybe some 16-year-old who you could train up to mow the lawn. I'm sure there's got to be kids there or people that would be willing to do that type of work. I just don't see that we can afford to let Jason go to do this.
Sorry, I could feel you what you said.
Is there anybody there locally that you can count on or that you might be able to employ? Let's say a 16-year-old kid or somebody that's looking for some work?
Possibly, then it comes down to money.
Have you advertised?
Pardon?
Have you advertised?
No, we haven't. No.
There seems to be two parts related that there's the hassle you're having in these really busy times of the year. And so I'm wondering, in terms of the way council would do it, this one would be the infrastructure, the other is providing the staff to do it. In terms of infrastructure, do you have adequate mowers owned by the public demand or not?
Yep.
So you've got the mowers?
Yep.
So we just need to get it done for you?
So we have enough mowers, but if there was two people, we wouldn't have enough mowers. We have enough mowers. We don't have two mowers sitting there for the fairways and runs. We have one mower sitting there for the fairways and runs.
And that's pretty much... So I'm wondering, do you need additional mowers provided to the club? And we could look at ways of getting grants for you, all those sort of things, and then we work out how we get them driven. But it sounds as though you've got two problems. One of them is you're a mower short, is that right?
No.
No.
For 90% of the year, we're not.
Yep.
We can do it with the gear that we've got.
Yes.
It's just this particular time. I was asking for 1 day a month for two people, and then that would help us keep on top of it.
have you got enough money to pay someone to do it?
No.
Just
or a fundraising capability, it's all died, I suppose, or anything else.
Oh, Jason.
Okay, well, I suppose from my point of view, from a maker's point of view, resources, that would make it difficult.
Yep.
For us, no doubt. One day a week, two guys, doesn't sound a lot. Obviously, that's all the years out, peak season, really difficult, it would be. If I get contracts in that time of year to help us out, especially at the last 2 or 3 seasons. If council, it is difficult to get people here to do that sort of work, but what months were you requesting? October?
November, December.
Those 3 months.
And it may be only October, November, Jason.
If council was looking at maybe, giving some assistance to the country club, then the contractors that we utilise, if you can guarantee, those 3 months you want them for one day, they'll make it happen.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And that would be, I'm not quite sure what it would be from on a daily rate for 2 miles or 2 blokes, but probably not all that expensive. If council, that's a possibility for them to assist maybe financially in hiring those contractors on 3 days for 3 months. That way, that's not, more resources aren't being utilised, and I can continue to do it. And if we speak to them contractors early this time of year,
yep,
and say, can you pencil it in for 3 days, 3 months, and council are willing to support that, then maybe that's an option.
Yeah, thanks for that.
It would be really difficult for me. I don't know if it sounds a lot on time, but it just, I really struggle just with the resources I have at the moment, especially, we'd probably expect, 15, 20,000 dollars on contractors as it is, helping us out,
And I can vouch, it's just next to impossible to get those kind of people to. And in answer to Councillor Cassidy's question, there just doesn't seem to be many 16-year-old kids that are interested in earning pocket money.
But maybe
they're just not out there.
Just on that, if council are considering any assistance, then I'm more than happy to work with Dave and getting contact with his contractor and just say, give us a price for 2 miles and two blokes for three days a year, and come back to council with a price.
That's why the outcome was to know the motion to that effect. Would someone like Councillor Archer put up a motion?
I'm happy to take Jason's advice that we seek quotes to assist with the committee to review this country club in terms of controlling the in rough, as it's described, in years, particularly when there's abundant growth, I think it's in the community's interest, not just because it makes it more amenable, but in terms of fire danger, and it's right in the township, so there's a lot of reasons why council would want to be supportive, and that we look at it as required, so that every year we might pencil in as late as just October, November, with the option of December and even January, should that be necessary. Would that suffice, David?
Yeah.
So that's with the Workers Services Manager?
Yeah, absolutely.
If that contractor that we've advised, if you can get a contractor and you can guarantee them work at the last minute, then most likely they will.
And if they're going to be up in the view, that's the big difference,
It might be like $1,500 for the day or whatever it may be, but if you've got a figure, then in council willing to assist, then it's not just that they
could starting point.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that just frees up us as well.
So the Works and Services Manager by
to work with the data to come back to council with that quote and what can be done to assist.
So you seconded that, Councillor Arnott?
Mm-hmm.
Second Councillor Arnott. Those for that motion, is there anyone against it? You're against it, Councillor Cassidy? Okay. That is carried. Thanks,
Dave. Cool. Thank you very much, man. Thank you, Council, for your time.
I'm happy to call for when I get back to it.
Yep, no worries. Thanks very much, guys.
Okay, well, I'll move us to go back to the DES report, please. A mover, Councillor Campbell, seconder, Councillor honour for again Carrie and Brian who are up through what number grade.
If I can, through the chair, can we go back to 15.2, which was the hearing? And I've lost the councillor who was going to ask the question.
What were the information you noted? No. Councillor Honour and Paul.
Just want to confirm.
It's been moved and seconded and carried.
Right.
15.3, Australia Day celebration at Bothwell Swimming Pool. Council allocates $350 for the purchase of pool inflatables and for a barbecue at Bothwell Swimming Pool. Now, Councillor Paul.
I'm quite happy to recommend this thing to the board. I don't actually follow it out. I mean, every year they have a celebration on Australia Day, and I think it's not good for that.
Now, the other thing that has been mentioned to me is the issue of COVID and crowd numbers, because you can't reasonably social distance at the pool. Brian, what's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are there's signage up there to remain 1.5 where possible. Obviously, it's swimming. But it's an outdoor facility. No masks need to be worn. Now they've got the masks worn is when George is serving in the kiosk, but most of the options out. Look, where do we draw the line? It's kids going to the pool for Australia Day one. Yes, they'll abide by the signage is up. It's all about. It's up to you guys, but we can only do what we can do under what the public health says. Signage is out, and we abide by that.
I agree with Graham. We have to be guided by the public health advice. There are no really strict restrictions at the moment. We have to be logical and sensible and take all the normal precautions. And the kids are going to be going back to school doing exactly the same thing in a fortnight's time after that. So I think the kids need this sort of thing at the moment.
Okay. Councillor Cassidy.
So, the question I have is how many of the children have been vaccinated? And how can we be assured, guaranteed, that they're going to be wearing their mask properly? I mean, we've got people here that are not wearing the mask properly.
Yeah, but it's an outside event.
I understand it's an outside event, but at the same time, you know, the Central Highlands is, you know, still like one of the lowest vaccination rates, and also the children are the ones that generally seem to be infecting the parents and causing, you know, the spread of the virus to their parents. So I have concerns about having this event or any event as long as the Omicron virus is present and spreading as rampantly as it is. So I would say we'll just cancel it.
Okay.
And if we cancel it, then there's no need to spend that money anyway.
Councillor Campbell?
I mean, we can cancel the actual barbecue and the barbie inflatables, but the pool's still going to be open. It's not going to stop. If it's a hot day, it's not going to stop the numbers there.
With the food, yes, that may be an issue. With the pool itself, what did I ask you to comment to me for the pool going at the wire?
I was swimming no fish for the pool. Look, the pool's great. It's chlorinated and it's tested every day. The pool's fine. I think we're really taking this out of context. We're really, really taking it out of context. You can see a very, very short time and must need to be thrown away. It's in the wards, but the government's moved the goalposts at different times. They've got nowhere to go at the moment. It'll be, if you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. The list will still be there to do things as such, but this is an outside activity. The pool's open now. Everything's in place. Look, I just recommend that it go ahead with it. And I agree with Councillor Campbell, the kids need this type of thing.
Councillor
I'm just going to second Councillor Paul's motion that we allocate, we move the recommendation.
And I certainly
is that about it, Jim?
Yeah,
yeah, you move it, I'll second that.
Thank
see
you.
Where it lands.
Thank you.
Sorry?
Did you just take over the chair?
No, no.
Councillor Cassidy, I sympathise and agree with a lot of what you're saying. I also understand that, yes, we do need to have the pool open. So, in saying that, do we have the event happen and without the
barbecue? Well, we've had
the
motion
before. We've got a motion today.
You can amend it to that. Like, you've got the motion. I haven't put it across the table. So, if you allocate the money for the pool inflatables, which we do every year, I think, and maybe not the barbecue.
Well,
but
just put the motion
if you're handling the inflatables, it's no different to the food. It's
Madam
Mayor, one day, we had a very big golf day last Saturday at the golf club, and we had a barbecue there. The barbecue was set up outside, everybody was outside. The event went ahead without any dramas whatsoever, and we had a lot of people there, far more than you're going to get at this event. I really think that we should allow events like this to go ahead just because the community needs it.
Okay, fair enough. Councillor Cassidy.
Okay, so this event that you had here, Jim, I'm not throwing stones at you at all, but let's say, for example, of all of the attendees who were there, do you know which ones were in New South Wales of any of the hotspots or Victoria or South Australia? You don't know where these people actually have been, let's say in the past 30 or 45 days, and whether or not they have actually come in contact with somebody and not showing symptoms, but they may be infected.
But I don't know where you've been for the last 30 or 40 days.
And it's not a public health requirement that everyone knows that.
All right,
let's just put the motion
up. Thank you, thank you. I'll put the motion up and before this. So the motion is, well, it's a recommendation that council allocate $350 for the purchase of pool inflatables and for a barbecue at the Bothwell swimming pool on the 26th of January. It was moved by Councillor Ford, second by Councillor Ford. Those for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion? Councillor Bailey and Cassidy?
No, I'm not against it. I'm a bit late putting my hand up, that's all.
You've got to be quick. Is there anyone against the motion, Councillor Cassidy? I'm reluctant, but I will go with it, just as we haven't got much happening in the Central Islands for kids. Okay, so that goes through. 15.4 is Bothwell Recreation Ground Grandstand. Over to you, Grant.
Thank you, Mayor. This was one that was floated back in December that was to do with the grandstand. I totally agree. It's certainly at its day. But I think there's 15.4, and I'm looking through the agenda, and it's 17.5, which is the federal election project, so they're sort of combining into each other. Project like this is something that, you know, we all know what it wants, but it needs expertise putting into it, which is developers that deal with commercial type buildings and that type of thing. So I would suggest that we involved, and we only put down someone like PDA in there, but we can go to other firms as well, to come up with a concept plan, first up, have drawings, have a bit of input. We can even put out the community first up and what you think we need and that type of thing. Get these concept drawings done, and then we put it out to pricing, or you know, PDA, they might be able to do a costing before we start applying funding or whatever it is, because we've got to have a figure that we're going to be asking for and what's going to suit what we intend to do, but definitely it's part of the useful day.
So we need good processing.
Well, I think so. So the discussion would be that come up with a comment, that we allocate some funding so we can actually put this into process. So the discussion today is, yes, we will agree that come budget time, that'll be one of my wish lists that will go in there for the upgrade for that facility.
All right, Councillor Cassidy.
I would like to move a motion that we combine agenda items 15.4 and 17.5, and that council engage PDA for costing and plan for replacement of the grandstand.
Okay, through the chair. Probably not just PDA, if we make the recommendation that it's consultant or something.
Yeah.
I'll actually say PDA.
All right, we'll just change that to a consultant.
Could I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Honour. Move, Councillor Cassidy. Second, Councillor Honour.
Can I just get some clarification on that? Are you saying that we don't do anything at this point in time until both of the deliberations and then allocate funds to get the contract plan done?
Exactly.
My concern with all that is, okay, we've got a federal election coming, we're going to miss the vote. Because if we go for March, the budget deliberations, if we don't pass that through June, by the time we get that done and we get plans drawn up and so on and so forth, the federal election will be done and dusted.
If I came through the chair and I reckon Jason at that is getting someone now to try and basically drag them away and say we want this done is near impossible. I've been dealing with trying to get the designs finished and completed, which is about to come on the roof of here. Pipelines going up street so we can do in bottle our units and that type of thing. So totally agree it would be nice to have it in place now, but trying to get someone to do it is just at this time out of the question. We're missing that anyway. So it's just something we've got to work on, where Jason and I are working with PDA on a couple of projects now. We could float the idea to say at such and such a time we're going to be coming at you because we want this done.
On that basis then, would it not be possible for council to approach the federal members to say that we intend to put this ahead and ask them for a portion of funding toward it? As we did with the road up there, the Kapapa road there.
Through the chair again, I don't think it works like that, but it would not hurt to put the feet in the water through certain members to
get
suggest that popping up
to
me.
Otherwise, you're
going to miss. Does that make sense? Yeah. But yeah, just to try and get professionals at the moment to do projects that we want is very, very bad. Very good.
And probably for the federal election, might push to get the Marble Road.
Okay, so we're back to Councillor Cassidy's motion. It was moved and seconded by Councillor Honour. I've already written that down, so we're clear on what we're moving.
Allocate funding in the 2022-23 budget to obtain a consultant to do a concept plan.
Okay.
Is that in front?
So, yeah. Can someone read that again? Or, because I was there.
allocate funding in the 22-23 budget to obtain a consultant for a sunset plan for...
Yeah, I think it's got to be budget consideration.
Renewal of the rec ground rent.
Moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Arnold. For that motion, is there anyone against that motion? Okay, that's carried. Thank you.
15.5. Just by coming to my attention from Councillor Poore, he was talking to Gary Jones up at the waste bank for the station one day, but it was a bit hot, and Gary was standing under the tree in a bit of shade. It was suggested that we need a shelter for him. Look, there is a shed up there. I'd rather be under the tree than in the shed, coming up on a warm day. It's in the shed. It is what it is up there. I mean, the same that every waste rent for the station, they've got shelter, they've got toilets and that type of thing. Jason's boys, they look at the same conditions. Look, yeah, Gary does a good job up there, because he's always talking about something, so... It's just a discussion that, you know, there's no power up there. If we had power, could we put an air conditioning there and that type of thing? But it's certainly up there.
It's very outside all the time.
Look, it's noted. We do the best we can. You know, does it get to the stage where it gets over 35 degrees? No one works.
You're not supposed to,
are you? Is it a tin shed?
Yeah,
that
would
be
hotter.
Is it possible to put an awning
up
off the tin shed so that you're not in the shed but there's a bit of shade?
Look, the shed itself is down near the gate. And that was there originally for to check everyone who came in, where people were proactive in doing their job as such, to go and help people to put things here and there. So in saying that, Gary is more proactive, putting up here, in his car and that type of thing. But, Councillor?
Yes, Graham. Are there any work health and safety issues that you have identified or can identify that may, you know, affect that shed or the utilization of the shed? Maybe it needs to be insulated or needs to maybe it's, you know, like you look at the old style Land Rovers, they actually had a double roof, you know, and it was a double layer roof, but now it's for, you know, cooling or provide some kind of insulation as well. So, you know, is it properly ventilated, et cetera, et cetera.
The shed issue is Gary doesn't use the shed anyway. There is the health and safety bit, when it's windy, when whatever, and I leave that up to the actual attendants that are there. If you deem it too dangerous to be there for your own health and safety, you lock the gate.
Yeah.
They know that. So if it's too hot, go on. Same thing. They know that.
They know that.
Yeah.
Is it written down somewhere? Is it written down somewhere, Graham, so we'll cover it? Council's
cover it.
So we'll move on. 15.6 is the Hamilton Council office reroute.
Okay.
Discussion.
So you would have had some documentation sent out. So the design of the roof, and hopefully you've seen that one, was sent out to you. Now that one that's been cancelled is what alone they have sent back after they had a site meeting with Heritage, with Deirdre and Palomas structural engineer. Because Chris Potter now has retired, so Chris isn't doing it anymore, but Palomas gone to another firm which is set up, so we're still sticking with that. Now the notice of decision is that yes, we have been granted a permit to do the work. Now the first part of it is that the re-roof is fine, but the roofing on it goes on a short sheet now tonight. Okay. The fascia board that goes around to that big, thick brownie one is replaced with the smaller that looks like a Heritage. Now once we can have the drawings done to that part of it, okay, but they have to then go back to Heritage to be ticked, okay. But their advice was, and that's where this one came in, what they'd like to see, it doesn't say that it's a condition of the permit, is, and this is, just happens to be that we're here today, that window that you can see that is blank in, is that part there, which is built over it, which was an add-on to the old building. They would like to see that that bit gets taken down and the old facade comes back to its original, okay? But he's saying that's an extra cost because we've got to demolish, okay? So it's that glass. The old horrible mustard colour on the front of the building is to do something with that to blend in with this facade, which would be painted or a little bit of texture coat. The texture coat probably would be wood sandstone. But that's only advice. So the question I ask you is, do I go back to Palomar and say, so we're not rocking the boat, do we take the advice and put that down as demolition, go back to the original or whatever, or do I just advise her, do the plan as they've passed with just those conditions?
Okay, Councillor.
So, Grandma, if we restore that window, how much does it reduce the office space for council employees?
That part there is a storeroom, I think it is. Correct? Where you come out of
it. Back office.
A little office into a storeroom. So it's basically in line with that wall, goes back to the original. So it's that little bit taken off, which would reveal the sandstone again, the same as the other side. The window goes back to what it was. So
if there's no effect then on the functionality of the office space and utility of it, then why not?
We use that room for storage.
And there's no other place that we can use?
Not really, not in the main building, no.
Councillor Campbell, then Cora.
I'm just wondering, Graham might be able to answer. This roof issue's been going on since, I think, I came onto council. It's probably been going on longer. What is the most time efficient way of going with this and I guess cost effective as well? What are your thoughts?
Well, those pictures you look at, time to get the plans redone is nothing. Basically, that's what we see, it's just those you put in. So if I say to the Paloma, no, we're not going to demolish that one, and that hatch area won't show as being demolished. Just be there, and the new roof area will go in, plus the plan that shows the gutters and the falls. So that's minimal. The extra cost would be demolishing, okay, and cleaning up that area. As to the hatch bit where it shows the colour to be painted and whatever, we're basically going to do that anyway. So it's just that red area there.
Yep.
And that's what we need to know. Do we put that in there to say it's going to be demolished and Deirdre from Heritage will go to the original? Thank you. Going back to the original. And if we don't, it's only advice asking. It's not a condition of the permit being issued.
So, Graham, you're saying go back to the original was the best way to go?
Look, it's sure cool. I'd love to see our building back there, but like Lynn said, it's got that bit of storage in there as well, so it's going to be that it's just, I haven't got storage in there anymore. We just do what we've got to do, and then down the track, if we wanted to demolish and go back to the original,
well, that sounds sensible, doesn't it? Just do what you've got
to do. But it's only a roof design where it shows a box gutter, just going a bit further out when that comes away. If that doesn't happen, it's incorporated into that box gutter on the original plan, so it's.
Councillor
Roberts. I'd like to see it come back to the original. If you look at Bothwell, previous Bothwell Council, and Bothwell Council has sort of fought hard to maintain that historic character of the town, which has been some discussion today. It's an important tourist draw card.
Yeah,
I mean, we can
have a look.
Can we have a look,
Councillor?
The question is, can we give someone else to leave the store or
something? Oh.
Jim's motion to demolish.
I'll move the motion that we demolish it in line with what's the word? The recommended for the suggestion. Give me a word, right? Is it a rec? It's not a recommendation, it's a suggestion.
So we approve that the plans be done, including the advice from Heritage.
Yeah.
And then we've got to talk to them about where she wants to put some storage.
So that was moved by...
I'll move that.
All right, second by Councillor Cassidy. So for that motion, is there anyone against that motion? You're against it. And Councillor Ford is against, Councillor Archer is against. Do you want to state any reason why, or...?
We're going to get extra cost involved in that to pull it apart. You're still going to end up in a mess of rocks on the other side of the building anyway, so there's really no benefit. If been lodging for a long period of time, one of the two new dogs died.
Okay.
That's the same view, Mayor.
Then I agree with you. So the three gates, there's Councillor Ford, Councillor Archer, and myself. Alrighty. 17.5, COVID update and draft policy.
So what was the...
It was...
Carrot. Knowledge? Carrot?
Yeah.
Carrot, yeah.
Motion was carried for the day. And
okay.
COVID, Brian, where it says the rat tests.
Before Adam went on leave, the order went through for the rat test to come to council. We get those through the state government at no cost to local. The proposal was
we
that
we have to pay for them.
We did.
We do have to pay for them.
Oh,
they're not free.
You should wait till they're free. Anyway, the proposal that Adam was putting forward was that outside workforce or workers, mainly outside workforce, were to come to work and have a test before they went to work. Didn't make a lot of sense. My suggestion is that when they come, at least two tests go home with the workers. If they wake up in the morning and they don't feel right, take the test, get on the phone with the manager of that department and say, well, it's negative or positive. That manager will make the call, and I know if it's me and if it's still negative, I'll say, wait till tomorrow, take another test. So that way they're not actually coming to work, if they are good, taking a test and putting everyone at risk and going home. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So it'd be better if they were given those to take home for their personal use. You know, not to use for the family, but that just makes more sense to me that we do it that way than actually you leave home, come to work, and if you do test positive, well, you've already been.
So, open up for discussion, Councillor Cassidy.
So, I think this is a bit of a twofold problem. It's just, it's not just about the rep, but to have a policy that's consistent with our neighboring councils, because we share services with them and we cannot do without those services. Let's say, you know, we need to have Damian Mackey or planning officers or whomever from council, those councils to be here. So I think that our council should establish a policy that's consistent with our neighboring councils, even if it's word for word or whatever. We should have a policy.
So I'd like to need that policy to come across the table next meeting or something. What are you saying?
Say please.
Are you saying we need a policy prepared to come to the table next meeting?
Yes, by next meeting or sooner. I mean, if you can call around and say,
we
have
to be
all
council to agree.
Yeah.
If I can through the chair too, I haven't got an issue with the policy. The issue I have was the way this unfolded, where Southern Midlands basically sent this straight out and said that they won't be coming up to the
Can
I finish? Yeah. And because all I needed was a phone call from Andrew Benson to ask if all our staff had been vaccinated. And we have no problem with that. We've been given that information out. And we have been in our office. Everyone is vaccinated. So those two staff members, which is Damien and Louisa, could have came in. Could have been a simple phone call and we wouldn't have to be going through with this. But he's standing behind his policy because we haven't got a policy. That just to me, and we've been working together for so long, it was just the wrong way to go.
But Graham, have they banned anyone from entering that's not double vaccinated? Entering their premises that's not double
vaccinated?
They
have
banned
that.
But you see, Graham, this, I would say if we put ourselves in their shoes, they're probably thinking about protecting their workers and so forth. So, you know, to them it's probably a work health and safety issue.
Oh, well, they have. That's so, what the policy says about the work, you think. But it was just the way it was sent through and how quick it happened, especially at this time when we're dealing with things like we are. So, come April, if we haven't put in a policy that does say virtually the same thing, Damien Mackey won't be coming to the club rooms to help with the new plant.
So we need to be sure that we do. We've got something in place.
That's up to you guys.
Councillor Bailey, how'd you handle it?
We need to put this in place now, then, do we?
I see. So.
As soon as.
There are three councils that have got them in place at the moment.
Has everyone vaccinated in our staff?
I don't believe so.
No.
And the thing is, it's freedom of choice also.
I don't believe so.
Remember?
No.
That's the other part of, I lost it.
So where do we go from there?
It's your privacy.
Yeah.
And it does actually say, unless it's mandated, the privacy part is they don't have to actually tell you whether you are or you're not.
Exactly. So, look, is it good things or bad? I don't know. You talk to some, you know, it's good, it's bad, it's
not,
you know, it's right. Any one of
those employees can leave those offices and go to the shop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. They're not going to catch COVID. Yeah. See, I can understand the Hobart now when they've got thousands of employees. That's really is a big risk, isn't it? It is a big risk.
Yeah.
Us small ones, yeah, there is a risk there because we've got a lot of tourists coming through that. I don't blame them for putting one in because, like Lynn, she's got a responsibility for all workers, and if Lynn feels strong enough and the council feels strong enough, yes, get it done. Short term, we can get away with what we've got to do by email and phone and that type of thing. Long term, it's going to kill us. We end up with some big developments going on. Cathy and I can't handle it. We can give our advice to people, but we're starting to get into situations where if you give the wrong advice, it's going to come back and bite you on the butt.
Jason, do you have any thoughts on this with the workers?
Difficult one.
It is a difficult one because, as I say, there's freedom of choice.
I don't think we're too far from having everyone vaccinated at work. There are, I believe, maybe a couple in the workplace, but as for making it compulsory for all personnel that visit council meetings, council offices, contractors that work for council, then double vaccinated. I'm really unsure.
I think that's what the other council.
Yeah, that's what they've done.
You can't come into a council building if you're not double vaccinated.
I think definitely, you know, if you look at the risk, the greater the risk, obviously, with the amount of people we've had up, and then all here, I would probably, see that would, you'd probably need it. I think here still, the risk is probably lower, but I mean, the consequences are the same. We can track it because I'll sit on the fence a little bit and make it compulsory. I think that's a personal decision, that's out of my belief.
Yeah.
So, through the chair, I mean, we can go around for days and discuss this one, I know. So, is it that it's a managerial decision for this? Or is it something that council has input? It's more, I think, managerial, because these decisions like Southern Midlands have come from the general manager and the deputy that have done the risk assessments and whatever it is. And the councillors must be standing behind them. They must be.
Because the general manager can't mandate that the member of the public can't come in unless they've got the vaccinated. They're not responsible for employees.
But the employees, that's what I mean. So the mandate will be for the employees, if you've got to be vaccinated, if that's the mandate, it's got to come from the
government. That's not their fellows. I don't reckon you'll find that that would satisfy that, is it? Because their policy is that be sure that everyone that goes into their buildings has to be double vaccinated. So, I mean...
How do they, Lisa?
I went somewhere before Christmas and I wasn't allowed in for the appointment unless I... Oh, gosh.
Have proof of the vaccination.
So the Midlands put their mandate that says no one will go into their buildings as well? Or is it just the workers already vaccinated? Now, and that's what got me back to why the decision was made so quick on us, because they threw it out of the department when we could have given them that information just straight away to say, well, we're all done in our office, we're all at our triples and doubles and whatever it is, you're safe to come to ours.
Yes.
But are they holding back going, yeah, someone else might walk in while they're there and not do that? So, look, I think we have to push the policy because we're going to be left high and dry if we don't. Not the community or whatever, in myself, I'm looking at my department that's not going to be functional if we don't do something now, or otherwise we've got to put the feelers out there and employ some more planning. We don't want to do that.
Someone sent me a message, so the Brighton offices have closed to the public.
They haven't closed?
They've closed to the public.
There's a public notice in today's paper that they closed their offices.
So we probably need then, so I can talk with Ben to say we need to get that policy, we're not going to rewrite the Bible. It'll basically be taken out of the Southern Midlands.
We can go
with Ben
and then we can work with them.
That's what council would want, Lynn wants. I'll talk with Bev and we'll get that underway.
Yeah.
Does it have to come back to another meeting? Or
it should come back in February. I know it's time.
Yeah, it's probably better to come back to make sure the council
agrees. You're all happy. We'll send out to you before it comes back so you can have a look at it.
There's a way for the mandate that all employees will be double vaccinated.
Sounds like it.
But you have to give them a certain date to be near.
Yeah, that's what
they said.
Cooked in, and
that's
all. What about those that can't have the vaccination?
Well, they've got the exemption.
Oh, yeah, you've got
the exemption.
Now, we have to remember exemptions in the policy as well.
Will this be contractors as well?
That's what the general manager was just saying. Be aware we may lose some people. I hope not, but we may.
If we make it so that all staff are double vaccinated, is there a need to ensure that all contractors are?
Well, I don't understand why you'd need to
before the staff double vaccinated.
They don't come in the building.
Well, let's be clear. Just because we're double vaccinated or even have boosters doesn't mean that we still can't get infected and get sick from COVID. Or even die.
Forget that.
So
we get
I think that, you know, all we're doing is giving people like Novak Djokovic a platform, okay? All these anti-vaxxers and so forth. I think we should just, you know, make a hard and fast rule, double vaccination, and that's it.
Yep.
Make a policy and stick by it.
Okay, this so I need direction then.
Well, we need a motion for this draft policy to be prepared by the EHO and DS manager. Come back to council in February. It can go out to you as an email to read prior to February.
It would be good if it...
Like a normal policy. We've got about 10 to do today. Yes. We haven't had prior.
It'll be along the lines of the Southern Midlands one.
I've actually already moved it.
I'll second that,
I think, just one moment, Councillor Cassidy, was you second that?
I already moved it, actually.
You moved it?
I moved it.
I missed that, sorry. So a second by Councillor Campbell, who had a hand up.
Could you read the motion back to us, please?
Policy to be prepared for the Fed meeting.
And the draft go out to the email to Councillor prior to the meeting. Is that correct?
Sounds good. So I think that maybe it might be a good idea if we let the Southern Midlands Council know that we're getting this in motion. Okay.
Oh, look, the email I got until it's in place understands that they won't be coming.
Yep, fair enough.
So, yeah.
So that was all that
money. Can you manage a month without...
Is there anyone against that motion?
Yep, there was.
Okay, that motion is carried. 15.8 is the report, the animal control, $1 was encountered during the past month.
Oh, that naughty dog.
Oh, okay.
That naughty dog.
It was, too.
One part.
Yeah. Sort of taking me in the green.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anything else for Graham? No? Very good.
Oh, well, yes. Yeah. One of the worst subjects I like talking about, but... rubbish. As you probably aware, what's going on in the Central Highlands at the moment, we're just playing catch-up all the time with dealing with the rubbish. There's so many tourists around, people, kids on holidays, the whole thing. It blew up this week at the Arthur's Lake shop. I had two phone calls, but there was an argument between the owner of the shop, all the owners and some people that wanted to put rubbish in bins, but the bins were overflowing and they still wanted to leave it there, so I got a little bit heated. A couple of people called in to see me and I tried to pacify them. Had a visit from two elderly gentlemen from the caravan park at Pump House Point. They've been taking rubbish and putting it in those bins there as well on the trailer load. So they were informed that even though it's in the area, it's a commercial business, they're not to take it there. I've advised them to get their own bin and put there, or if they've got a trailer load, it's to go to my area and they'll pay accordingly. But this morning, I've had to take steps because Brett has basically said he wants those bins moved off the site.
This is a fellow at
Arthur shop, yeah, and we've got five bin there at Arthur shop.
We've got a lease there. How
we have got a lease, but it's his property, you know, and the stress he's under, he said, I'm under stress, I'm trying to organise that, I'm trying to run a business, and blah, 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 the overflow is going on. As you know, we go to tender very shortly. The lawyers are looking at that document at the moment. On that tender, there will be an increase in bins and things to try and sort things out. But in the interim, I've called Cleanaway and I've talked with Matt and they're in a meeting at the moment. They may be able to help me out, but it's going to cost me money, that we're going to do two entries a week at Arthur's Lake short term, which is they're going to take their own truck up and empty on a Friday and JJ's will be emptying on the Tuesday. So to try and keep it please, I'm going to have to spend a bit of money, but they're going to come back with a price on the weekly empty. I'm just going to have to do it because the natives are just going off their heads. And Brett, I don't want to lose that site. The only other option was to put it in the old waste transfer station, but the old, why we got them out of the waste transfer station is because it had to be manned and that type of thing. So that was those issues. That's why it went down to there and it works good. So I'm going to try and pacify Brett in the interim, and so when the tender comes out, things will be better, but in the interim, I'm going to try and help him out by that extra empty. So
I think that's the logical, obvious
decision. Sometimes I've just got to do things on the fly. You know, I asked Richardson to give me two more bins up there. I can't. Why haven't they got any? Yes, we've got them, but they haven't got the capacity to empty the bins. They haven't got enough trucks. So the truck can only hold a certain amount. If you keep putting more there, they can't empty them. So, you know, we've had issues with them when the truck breaks down. When are you going to empty it? Next Tuesday. Well, what about the empty? Oh, we haven't got an extra truck to go to. So I haven't been happy with Richardson's for a long time. But, yeah, we'll be going out to tender and things will improve because we can see what's going on in the community. The extra whatever, do we even have to think about down the track of opening the YM for a little bit longer? You know, to take pressure off those bins. I don't know, that's something when we have a meeting, the waste committee, we'll throw that around. So.
We'll do one of them.
But just to keep in the loop, that's what I've had to do on the fly.
One every 4 years.
All right. Thanks, Council.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move into Works and Services. Welcome, Jason. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Campbell, those four, please. Carried. Thank you, Carried. We're on to. You've got the report in front of you. 16.1 Helen Landship update. Over to you, Jason.
Okay, so obviously, thank you, Councillor, for aware that Pelville opened just before Christmas, right on Christmas, so the majority of the major works have been completed. There are still some minor works that part of that's got to be undertaken that needs to be done ASAP as well for the drains and minor slips and some unlocking culverts and the like, so I will continue to engage another contractor. There is a possibility that AWC may be able to continue on with the works. It was just because of their commitments to state roads that they weren't going to be able to help us out anymore. But their workload may have changed, so it may be a possibility that I can still engage them to do it, which would be a benefit to council. I mean, the works that they took down there was a credit to their organisation, I believe. I haven't got the bill yet, but I mean, it'll be reasonable for the works that have been undertaken. So, yeah, just an update that's open. I think you see the report there. And I'll continue to work. I don't think prepare the minor defects.
Thanks, Virgin. Okay, that's all good. 16.2, Ellendale Fire Equipment, which we've sort of covered pretty well.
Yeah, so there's just a bit of misconception. It's not so much the little fire equipment that was placed in 2009 that's the problem. So that can remain. Yeah, I mean, they've allocated the funding to do that. Just be aware of the installation cost of the softball to the border. You know, I mean, depending on the size of the play equipment, it depends how far you have to go outside that with your softball. There will be a little bit of work there. It will be maybe another $6,000 or $7,000, $8,000 for the softball installation. I mean, you can remove that. Eleanor Parker.
All good. 16.3 is the roadside memorial policy.
Oh, so I'm not 100% sure on why I've deferred from last meeting. I think there was some concerns by Councillor Archer and Councillor Allwright in regards to some of the things that was in the policy.
No, one thing. It seemed to put a bit of pressure on you. To put the memorial in.
Yes.
I don't believe it's quite there.
No,
I think it's one of
And I don't think council should be responsible for the maintenance
of it. Let's have a look.
I think the objective to the policy are.
The objective is fine. Yeah, council roadside will be.
The intent's not right either.
No, so I don't think that got changed yet.
And also, last time we agreed that we'd be using the same roadside markers that previously been used, which isn't reflected in the policy. And also, there are a lot of other bits and pieces in here. For instance, this actually encourages, which I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think we should be encouraged.
No, it's actually written to encourage it happening. I think it's. I've missed. The opportunity to include in policy things like park benches and things, so I think that is a positive addition. But again, it's not what we agreed before, so that would need to be, we council need to discuss that. Sculpture, public art.
We need a roadside.
You just wanted one
for the
roadside memorials.
Correct.
As a
absolutely. Yeah. And seven, for instance, application for a memorial should be made not less than 24 months to the date of death. I don't know why you'd be restrictive in regard to that.
No.
That's an unnecessary condition. Council responded to the maintenance and management of
that's
I'm interested in a couple of roadside memorial policies for the mainland one,
yes.
Which are probably two pages and are only talking about roadside memorials
And there is even a time limit that they're up for.
Exactly. And that's what we discussed.
So maybe we should just look at drafting something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And council can have a look at that and make amendments.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that could come out of it, yeah?
Absolutely. And the intent shouldn't be the encouragement, but rather supporting people who are grieving. It gives them people an opportunity to remember their loved one, and I think we'd be supportive of that. But what we don't want is 50 different types of memorials.
Just council.
But I think in the policy it would have to be placed on site in consultation with your works and services manager.
Exactly. And adjacent landowners.
Is council wanting to have stone concrete memorials, or is it just identified by a black guidepost?
A black guidepost.
A black guidepost.
Yes, exactly.
To do away with all actual memorials and such.
Well, that's right. We're not encouraging the proliferation of any more. You know, I don't know that we can necessarily.
The problem is hanging on something. The one up here in the Holy Tree Road, they just talked about it.
They did, yeah.
And hanging on something, then you're going to have to pull them out.
There were probably 50 bikes here, I think.
One at a time, everyone's talking. Slow up, and I will get back to you. And go to Cassidy, then Bailey, and Archer.
You know, maybe I'm being a bit insensitive, but I mean, what are graveyards for? You know? I don't think every motorist that drives by needs to, you know, reflect on who passed there or whatever. I think it gets to be a bit much, you know. I mean, people, you know, they once somebody passes, they all remember that person in their own personal way, but it doesn't, I don't think that everybody that drives by, or bicycles by, has to, you know, stop and genuflect and, you know, do the sign of the cross and all that stuff. You know, I mean, what are roads for? They're to move goods, move people. And graveyards are for, you know, remembering loved ones.
That's for individual.
I just think that this whole thing is just getting blown out of
proportion. That's an individual thing, I think. Councillor Bailey,
you know. Yeah, I was just saying. There was probably 50 or 60 bikes out on the corner out here on the Holly Tree Road over the Christmas. They came there, it must have been when this guy got killed or whatever. And there was a reunion, I couldn't find out, but something. They were all there, they were all off the road, and you know, really good to, slow the traffic down and everything. I couldn't see anything wrong with it. And there's all these bikes there, I mean, they're not doing any harm. Far as I'm concerned.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, so I'm thinking there that we go back to what we discussed in the last meeting, that the group said the market's able to be erected in consultation with the works services manager, and also if I had a lovely home in a town where someone unfortunately got it, I don't know what the market from my garden, or a move to the side, for instance, that might be acceptable. So I think it needs a negotiation with the people who have got the surrounding property. And I think that, you know, it should be a council's discretion to remove them after a period of time. But we need to be compassionate. We need to, and I think our policy shouldn't be retrospective. There are markers that I've seen that I think that, you know, really shouldn't be there. They're faceless, they're distracting the traffic, all sorts of things. But you can't turn back the clock. But going forward, we can say that our policy going forward, that markers will follow exactly the same mistake growth had before, and that they be there for, at council's discretion, but generally a period. And then that way, the owners of the council were removed from all we just leave them there.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Your
take? Yeah.
I think
actually a guidepost, or just a...
It was a guidepost.
It's a marker,
right? Yeah. So I think, and you probably don't want stone memorials all over the road reserves everywhere. And if what's happened in the past was probably too late, but from now, yeah, I mean, in the past, the state roads, they used to have a black guidepost that went, you know, in conjunction with their road managers, where they thought nearest to the accident, and then I think that is the same place for maybe 2 years.
Yeah, something like that.
And then it used to be taken down after that.
And what did they have to plant on that? guidepost, or?
No.
No, so there was no recognition of the
guidepost,
just.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
Councillor Archer's made a motion. Councillor Rowe. Oh, I think this might have been covered, but I think we ought to restrict the prominence of it, but not somebody.
Well, so you're saying it happened, but not as.
No, yeah, but either just restrict it to a guidepost, or if someone wants to do something, yeah, with admin about it, you don't want a square meter block cement, but maybe the tiny little sign that's a thing,
like a small plaque.
Yeah, just a small plaque. Just restrict the prominence of it.
So, well, James and I will have a look at.
That's what I'm saying. If you have a look at what other people, what other councils do.
And then, like a guidepost or a small park that could be mounted near the property line or something like that.
Yeah, because nowhere near the tail drain or anything like that. It's just got to be further. So, what's Councillor Archer's?
Yeah, I meant to do that, but what I don't want to see are concrete blocks with.
I'll second your motion.
Did we get Councillor Archer's motion down?
Well, should we just leave it for another
time? May I just make a statement?
Sorry.
Would it not be possible for the judge and Lynn to get together and come back to council at the next meeting and discuss what the judge is, and then we vote on that?
A motion for the revised draft policy to come back to February meeting. Are we all clear on that?
Yep.
Okay, so it was moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Rowe. For the motion, is there anyone against? That is correct. That's easy, isn't it? Okay. 16.4. Recommendation. General manager be authorised to sign the grant meeting.
You might recall that at the November meeting we discussed the local roads and community infrastructure program phase 3 funding that was available to us.
That's
and we agreed that I could sign the grant deed, and that the Works and Services manager recommend eligible projects from council's priority list for consideration by council at this meeting. So Jason and I have gone through the priority list, and Jason, do you want to?
So the general manager and I went through the priority list that was given to us by councillors. The replacement of Ellendale Hall block near the park. That's a high priority. It's
pretty dodgy.
Yeah, it's very
dodgy.
Unsatisfactory. Yeah, paved with Ellendale, we have $55,000 there, so that can be
taken out.
Replace toilets and barbecue facilities at the shelter at Dunrobin, Meadowbank.
Now, there has been a grant application put in for that, so we've decided to put it in case it has gone up. If it does get up, well, we can reallocate those funds somewhere else, but we need to place projects on a project works list to be approved by the feds.
The concrete footpaths occur at Hamilton Franklin Place, so that's basically all the main street coming here in Hamilton. I mean, the footpath outside Jackson's Emporium, right down to halfway through Franklin Street is really poor. I mean, even when we get evaluated, the condition raging on them are very unsatisfactory. The rest of the paths have had the concrete curb done in them over the past year, so it's a matter of just excavating the material and concrete in the footpath and tidying it all up. There's been no money spent on the footpaths here for a very long time. asphalt footpath upgrade in Patrick Street at Bolton. So if you remember at the last December meeting, with the installation of the sewage connection to the lake at Bolton, Patrick Street at Bolton there, we're going to reinstate that footpath in asphalt. Same thing, there is controversy in Bolton about reinstating the footpath to concrete, so they're just going to do it in asphalt, and that's to upgrade the other side.
Councillor Paul?
Going back several years, we had a meeting at the town hall regarding you wish at some stage to concrete the footpath, which a lot of the neighbours were very unhappy about. It was agreed at that point that we would try and discover what apparently there is a policy for footpaths within the Bothwell vicinity. That never happened and we never went back and revisited that, so whether we should or not, I don't know.
It was never found.
Okay.
It was never fair. I don't know. It was never fair.
No.
Yeah. I do wonder whether people are going to be a bit anti-asphalt on the footpaths. You know, I mean, you're not going with the black, you're going with the coloured asphalt, I believe.
Dark.
White. Yep.
Black, as it was approved from the last council meeting.
You don't think the natives are going to get a bit angry?
I think it's a little bit rude to keep saying natives.
All right, well,
I mean, and some of the footpaths are actually asphalt that are broken and just really in really poor condition. You know, when Elvis was re-established there, they asphalt the footpath up along the side of the map.
Yeah.
I know in my street, for example, it's asphalt, but it's just really poor and really broken down. So, I mean, you've got to draw the line somewhere. We can't be living.
No, just go ahead.
Well, I'm not against it. I'm just saying, I just don't want
to go there. I was at that meeting, obviously, and yes. And
I think for safety and maintenance point of view,
so we'll
go. Construct and seal 1.5 kilometres, 1,000 acre lane. I think that we need to continue that in the crossroads, and that was agreed upon. After that's done, then I think council are going to work on their own seal network, but I mean, it's silly to leave it at the crossroads now and not continue out to the long island.
The 55,000 that we saved from the equipment, do you want to add to the
1,000
acre lane? Yeah. So that will make it 5,058.
So we're transferring the 55
Ellendale. The play equipment at Ellendale crossed out, so we need to, because we're allocating the full 1,178,000.
So add the 55 onto 1,000 acre lane.
Okay,
councillor, that's 1.6. That's fairly well split up over a fair chunk of the municipality.
Yep. 16.5.
Halfway to Tasmania. That's
did we have a recommendation?
We need to move it.
Oh, I missed that, sorry. Will you move that, Councillor Cassidy? Councillor Bailey, 4. Against that is carried. That was on the other page, so I did not see. Okay, 16.5, pathway to Tasmania to utilise Indar Road.
This is a road race that's been around the municipality for some time now. We have all the appropriate traffic management plans and insurances from these guys. There's no issue on that, I believe. I just need to give them confirmation in an email with the council and contact them using Ellendale Road.
Yep, move
it,
please.
Councillor
Honour, seconder. Councillor Campbell, 4. Against that is carried. Could we have a sign, I know there was one previous, put on off the Wild Highway down Clyde Street. There is massive heavy traffic coming down through there. I reported it once before when there was an accident, like there's Winnebagoes and trailers, you name it, really heavy traffic, including tour buses. I haven't seen a tour bus for a while.
Where is
this pipe over there? I haven't looked at it. Oh, so someone kindly removed it. Can you check it out? But it does. And the platypus walk. I've had a report about the long grass. I mean, I've lived there for years, not seen the grass longer than it is. But at the moment, it's a bit of a hazard, fire hazard. So can you check
on the actual walk itself or in the paddock?
The paddock.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, can we develop that into the law? I mean, it's going to be a platypus walk and there's tables and chairs going there that can count for us.
Yep. Oh, sorry?
Platypus walk. Tables and
chairs? Well, it meant to be.
Yeah, no,
it is. And I talked to Jason, we picked out.
Yeah.
So, within that area, what can we do to keep it short?
With the resources we've got, but a lot much more than what we're doing.
Right. So, what do we do about the current situation?
Just try and fit it into a maintenance program to get it slashed.
Okay. And you'll work with Councillor Four, right?
No. We've already done that.
Excuse me, where are we talking about? On the platform?
The platform.
On what properties?
Council.
Right. So that block of ground we bought about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's a little site there and we'd agreed to have a barbecue table. But effectively it comes back to about 5 or 6 years ago when they agreed to put a memorial for Andrew Downey.
Andrew Downey, and it's never happened.
And we haven't got there yet.
So. And we were putting trees in.
The actual platypus, where's the fire base trained before?
The paddock.
What paddock? First one?
Where you come along on platypus?
At your place, excuse me, I'll put you
no,
right there.
No, it's not my place, it's opposite. Mine and Ashley Davis and Shane Donoghue.
The next one?
Yeah.
The one up above the...
The platypus walk, where council own the property.
Right. Oh, I'll look at it. Maybe just try and fit it in.
So we can get to the Van Ruy Annies.
So, one minute, sorry.
Where do we get to the
So there's a site there that we picked up a slab put down and then Josie or Eve or someone get a few trees and put it around it.
Yeah, we did discuss a tree.
We got a grant.
But the,
yeah.
Yeah, and then we got a grant and there's 5,000 budget in.
Yeah.
I've missed the long grass on the side of the path up along the paddocks.
I think you're talking about the one really, the one that's up above the pump sheds and the pump sheds on.
So back towards where Weir is.
Yeah, that's a bit of one with the grass and a bit that you couldn't get any stock in.
Yeah, it goes
from Memorial Street is
the so it just needs mowing.
Yeah, well, old.
Just in
his
spare time, guys.
Old.
It's been a bad year for mowing.
Yeah.
It's been that much.
Long as it's not forgotten about Andrew's Memorial
Street. No, it's on the to-do list. Yes, it is. Yep.
All good, Jason. Oh, and may I say, could you please tell whoever does the toilets, I think it's Danny and Bobwood, there has been nothing but brilliant comments about how nice and clean they are. Best toilets in Tasmania I've been told.
Shall we pass on?
Please, hot water.
I'll pass it off.
Thanks, Jess.
All right,
thank you. Administration. Now, 17.1, I suggested a gallery from time ago that council discuss jumping castles and inflatables and that we do not purchase anything like that or have those at any of our events. As you know, the accident that happened up north was horrific, and I have seen jumping castles moving in the wind, and I think we should jump ahead. I know we can all get into it as well, and ban them from any of our.
Yeah, I thought that the Premier had banned them.
Oh, well, you might have gone.
No, it wasn't only
somewhere.
Yeah,
it was an email yesterday.
Oh, I didn't get that. But
that's the have councillors seen that, and I forgot the email.
So anyway, the thing is, I think council should just move a motion to ban these inflatables, I suppose they're called.
I think we should just wait. I mean, no one's going to be going to get them out of the closet for a while, so just wait. There's going to be some public announcement about them.
What if we just wait for what
the government says.
The government has to ban it.
Why do we need to deal with this issue?
Yeah, but on their ground, not our ground.
What I'm saying is our local government asked them from our government.
Can
we just endorse and copy and paste what the state
government's
done on their ground and we'll do it on ours?
It says the government is therefore determined that effective immediately no new approval will be issued under the Crown Lands Act or the National Parks and Reserves Management Act that provide for the deployment or use of jumping castles, door balls or similar. This extends the ban already implemented on Department of Education controlled land.
So, could we have council move a motion to the similar effect to that? Councillor Campbell, Councillor Cavendish. Moved by Councillor Campbell. Second by Councillor Cavendish. Those for that motion? It's following along the line.
So the council, we need the word there, council ban.
Yep.
Or jumping.
Well, there's, but further down in that letter from Peter Goodwin, it says, I strongly encourage local government to adopt similar measures to prohibit the use of jumping castles or balls or similar on land.
So we could go, the council ban all jumping castles, door balls, and other land-borne inflatable devices.
That's it, yeah.
Devices on council-owned or council-leased ground, we want to put that, or just council-owned ground?
Council-controlled.
That's a good word, council-controlled land.
Council-owned and controlled. Ash Cottage, you're on our property up there. We don't want them to put.
I don't think they would, but yeah, it says here in this letter, land owned or controlled by council. So,
yep, use those words. So I had a mover for that. That was in the letter. How are you going with that, GM? Have you got it?
Land owned or controlled by council.
Done.
So we really need to then advise, say, like the Great Lake Community Centre, that council has now placed a ban because that's council-owned land, even though they lease it off us.
Can you add that to the motion?
When you say owned and controlled, is it owned and controlled together or owned or controlled?
Control covers it all. You know, when we own it or not, it's under our control.
Yeah.
So owned or controlled. Instead of and control.
It's only one word. Or you could say own, lease, or control. I mean, it's that simple. And it's,
well, we just put it in.
Just control would be enough. Control's covered at all.
Jumping castles, door balls, and other land, born inflatable devices. On council owned and or on land owned or on land owned and or controlled by council.
And what was the last
hour? Are you going to put an announcement in the Home Digest or something like that?
Is that in the motion or?
I don't think we'd need to. I don't think it's really, wouldn't happen very often anyway.
No, but I think we should advise Great Lakes Community Centre, the Illinois Hall Committee, Bottle Football Club, and Cricket Club.
What you're just saying, is that an add-on to this motion? And advise, I don't think that would hurt to put
that.
And advise community as such.
Yeah.
Yeah. that could go on to that. So that's Campbell, Councillor Cassidy. So I call that motion. Is there anyone against the motion? Very good, that is carried. Okie dokie. What time is lunch, Janet?
12.
Ooh, 7. Janet's going to be the one to finish up. I'll be the waitress and the chef and everything else. Okay. 7.2, understanding and promoting active living in rural Tasmania. That's for information. 17.3, review of the local government. Act as a discussion.
If you want to nominate your 3 projects, Mayor, all councillors have been asked to nominate. If they wish to nominate 3 priorities that they would like implemented.
Are we nominating 3 priorities?
You don't have to, you can, but there'll be 29 councillors that have probably got.
We could try our hat in the ring, couldn't we? What's councillors think? Throw 3 projects in for fun? We might be lucky. What projects are we going to put in? The 3 that Jason had on his priority?
No, you're on the wrong
track. I'm on the wrong track.
Yeah, that's the local government review.
Oh, yeah. So any suggestions, councillors?
This is active living, 17.3.
There's a whole discussion paper on provisions.
We're on 17.3.
Right. Yeah, there's a whole discussion paper here.
I thought
we've got to read it and get back to
them. I went to the mayor and I thought, well, number 12, introduce a pre-nomination training package is probably something that's important in the near future. These are only my views. And then I put number 34, simplify what is a conflict of interest.
Yep.
Number, back to number 22. Number 22. Had to be something that could be done in. Establish core capability requirements for elected members.
Yep. So how about, as the general manager has,
there
were
10 schools. Yeah, 12, 22,
and
34.
Yeah,
we're
proposing.
Mm-hmm.
Council has
for
that.
So these are
the
ones we
need
already
now.
Yes.
They're all passed. No, but won't be highlighted in yellow. Mm-hmm. Right on the thing up here.
The yellows have been amended slightly, but they're all passed and all what's going to happen. Pick out your 3 top priorities, which one do you want to see happen?
Oh, I agree with and support the general manager at 12, 22 and 34. Do you need to know that?
Interviews of pre-nomination training.
Would I have a motion, please? Councillor Honour is moving. And it's
So which one are we supporting?
Linda's turn out.
12, 22 and 34.
12, 22.
34.
So 12.
Establish core capability requirement.
12 would introduce the pre-nomination training package.
Yeah.
For councillors. 22.
Core competency.
Establish core capability requirements for elected members.
Yeah.
And 34 was simplify what is conflict of interest.
Yep. We agree around the table to that.
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Councillor Honour, second. Councillor Paul. Four. Again. Carries. Thank you. Public idea. Now, I haven't had a chance to follow up on this, and I'd like to continue to follow up on this. Yes.
Can I speak to that?
You can, Jennifer.
I spoke to Will Beaton yesterday, and we're probably going to have to draw up a new lease because the property is about to change hands from Pete Beaton to Will himself, not John Beaton. And that will happen in March or April. He has a couple of concerns. He's very happy to have the memorial ranches there.
He's very reluctant to have rubbish in there. He would prefer to have twice weekly sweeps of the area by council staff to pick up any rubbish, because he feels that will keep the rubbish at bay better than having the rubbish bins there.
Yep.
And it is a working farm. He does need to block the gate from time to time, and he was suggesting that the gates get locked every day at 4:30 by council staff and unlocked at 7:30 in the morning by council staff to ensure people don't camp there and to ensure the security of their farm. And he also reiterates that he would really like an interpretation site put there with a bit of the history of the pub with an idea.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, thank you. We did discuss some of those, and nothing as a start on moving further with that, but that sounds good. So,
yeah, it's very expensive.
Maybe we can't do anything on this until it's actually changed hands and
part of the system. Can I make a suggestion there?
So perhaps we should have a deferral on this.
I just like the idea that maybe council, to protect the integrity of the landowner, maybe council would just move. Well, we're starting to do.
Do you want the whole community chasing
it? No, just flow the discussion for it. Well, obviously, no one agrees with me, but the movement is a bot ball, and then we don't have any issues at all.
I know what you're saying, but the significance of it is part of nobody with us.
Well, it's private property, though.
It's like a memorial type thing, so.
Well, memorial for what? I mean, notwithstanding the world for other, for someone like...
No, but further than that, as I say, there's a history to it. I haven't got it in your hand, but there's quite a history.
That can be reinterpreted as a
site. Yeah, we've seen someone out twice or day and lock and unlock
it. What's that going out there?
The person that's at the waste transfer station.
But he's only there twice.
Yeah, they're only there on the weekends. Sunday's going to have got there Monday to Tuesday, Thursday to Friday, one lock out. And Saturday as well, because they're going to have to come and go off and it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. It's going to be council staff in the end of it.
There will be a community.
I've got another thought about this, but I think at the moment we should just defer to make the decision until there's a change of hands.
Probably bring it back to start in May or something.
I'm
happy with that, because in the meantime I'll be talking with the Big Norton and different ones, and of course we need to keep our community informed as well. So do I have someone to defer it? Hang on, Councillor Honour's deferring.
I think we should vote on it now and move it down to the bottom.
We can vote on something we haven't completed discussions with.
Deferring it's not solving the problem, really. But
we need more information.
What information do we need?
I'm not arguing with it, so we're going for deferral.
Let's get the motion. But I'd like to move that we actually move it.
I don't know. And then we solve
the whole problem.
It's now private property. I don't think you could easily move it.
No, but Will might donate it to the house. Let's try that.
No, it's not Will's. It doesn't.
It's going to
be. The
problem
idea itself belongs to the community.
It's owned by the Bignall family. The Bignall family have allowed them.
And it was old Mr. Stewart that put it there. So let's just defer more information, bring it back to March meeting.
Well, March is probably not. No, I think we should wait a little bit longer than
that.
Yeah,
what if
the title
has
been sold?
Well, the title will never be
released anyway. I'd like to meet with Mr. Dignall and have a chat first. Both Mr. Dignall. Councillor Barrow.
Mayor,
When you're in, you're driving into the pub with no beer at this moment.
Yes.
You're turning around and you're coming out of the pub with no beer. There's a road, the old road turns left to go to Hobart, or to Milton Mowbray, whichever you want to say. There's a drain this deep. I think, for the council, or for council, whoever owns it, we should put a fence or some guidepost in there now, because somebody is going to be hurt. I went there the other day and had a look.
Yep. Okay. Councillor Cassidy.
So, I go along with what Tony says, you know, the contractor, they should have done something with that. They should put some guideposts there, or chopped up all of that asphalt there. Whatever. But I think the crux or the basis of this whole thing is we really need to get, in fact, why don't we invite Will Bignall here to address this issue? I mean, we're making decisions for him, and we shouldn't be.
Exactly.
He's the landowner.
So therefore,
so deferral. Let's bring him in.
So would you second Councillor Honor's deferral motion?
Yeah, all right, I'll second it. But I, with provision that we bring Will Bignall, the new landowner, in to make a representation council.
So that would be, and in your zone in a few months, you think it would be best?
Well, when he is the landowner.
Make it, when it's a gospel meeting, to make it April.
April?
Mm-hmm. Okay. He'll be invited to the meeting
in April. Moved by Councillor, second by Councillor Cassidy, for the motion. Okay, is there anyone against the motion? That is carried. Thank you. Okay, 17:45, it must be lunchtime, shall we? Federal election, that was done.
Yes.
1096 loan agreement, Central Highlands Visitor Centre recommendation, the Council authorised the General Manager to sign and seal Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery loan. Councillor Paul moved. I think Councillor Paul led you to that one. Councillor Allwright seconded. Four. Any against? Carried. State Trans Commission 747.
Just with regard to that, Mayor, from my discussion, if you can sign that as ASAP, the reason being that we plan to go back to Team Ag and ask them if we can get some furniture for the Historical Society so we can have those rooms open. They've indicated they're willing to, and we could possibly get this board up at the same time, and we need to get things underway. So if you could please fill that out as soon as possible and post it on, we'll do whatever
we can. I've got two people to email it to at Team Ag. And then who from the Visitor Centre is organising, or the agent of the gentleman is bringing it up?
Unfortunately, it's me.
Oh, you, yeah, but no, that's fine.
Recommendation, councils provide their comment on State Grants Commission discussion papers to the GM by Thursday 27th of January. Move it, please. Councillor Honor, second that. Councillor Campbell, four. Great Bay Convention, that's just for discussion. If there's any discussion on that, no.
There is a bit of opposition against it at the moment.
Against which?
The bike trail around the Great Lake.
The right line.
Okay. 17.9 Central Island event. Weekend
through the open.
You would have read all of that. That was the discussion. Any discussion on that?
They've had them before up there.
Yep.
Invited these crowds in.
Very good. 17.10 electric vehicle charger at Ooze. 7.1 cost. Could I move it, please? Councillor Cassidy, second. Councillor Four against, carried. Henry of Falsewood. As you know, I was speaking with some councillors and I spoke with Nadine, and we had a recommendation the council agreed to reschedule the bicycle of the township of Falsewood to later in 2022, and the working group can recommend a new date. And two is the council allocate $50,000 to the bicentennial.
It's an additional 50. We've already given them 30, haven't we?
It's an additional.
I think $30,000
was
a grant.
No. Is there a way you could incorporate it with the next bush fest?
We'll talk about that. And I
don't know. And that's why, yes, I wanted to come to this.
I've talked to Katrina about that, and it's up to councillors, of course. But you've got two things happening. It'd be great. It'd bring a massive crowd. But it's a little bit separate because you've got bush fest, like a mini ag fest, and you've got a celebration of gospel settlement.
Absolutely.
So I don't think they complement each
other. I don't know.
I think it's too many people for the one weekend.
Yeah. Council
Paul. I also think that by having two events, that will hopefully bring more people into the area. If we have one event, you're going to get X amount of people. You have two events on different months or different weekends, we've got more people coming. So I think it's beneficial to have two events.
So would you move the recommendation that's current? And you wouldn't discuss a later date later on, see how things are going in.
Yeah, I think we just leave it and see how COVID goes and leave it for a later date and discuss it later.
I think that the committee
Here's the bicentennial working group recommend a new date.
Yeah.
So we'll leave that as a thing, and they meet again that they've been not meeting for a while because of COVID. Who was the second that came for against, okay, that's carried.
And there, what are you talking about this event? I think you were going to mention Australia Day.
Yes, definitely. We I've had different comments and spoke to different people, councillors, etc., and community. Should we still hold Bronte Park as the Australia
Day? Well, I think we've only got next week. A bit late to pull out, isn't it?
Yeah, well. And
I think Katrina said the only one that's accepted so far are the recipients of the award.
Because Katrina said there's probably going to be about 50 people. Tell me that.
Being outside, I don't remember.
If it's not raining, it's a small area. I mean, I don't know, it's your thought.
I mean, I was talking to Tracy Snowden the other day, and they said that if she said her husband to apologise because they're staying away from the big crowds because they actually spend time with their grandkids. So.
And they just live across the paddock if we were going. So they're not going because of COVID.
No, well, there'll be a lot of things, but you can't just give in, chuck everything in. So we decided to keep going with the barbecue at Bothwell for Australia Day. We can't just one week out decide to cancel.
I'm looking at councillors.
I'm wondering if, whether it be Katrina or you, ring the recipients of the awards and gauge their feelings on whether they would feel more quick. Yes, most people, some people, it's a contentious issue anyway, whether we celebrate the Australia Day and the award recipients at another time, so it's not totally cancelled, or give them the option. I think ask the recipients what they feel.
Because I know that the one that is the actual main recipient is an elderly person.
Yes.
And elderly wife.
Yes.
And they're concerned about the long trip to Bronte, I know that for a fact. So I really don't know. You make sense.
I think ask the actual recipients and gauge their feelings on it. And if possible, we reschedule if they feel uncomfortable about attending. Maybe if I don't know, coincide with something else.
Or invite them to more than two.
Well, we can have a special afternoon, couldn't we? Yeah. We have to do something.
The numbers of people we're talking about.
Yeah.
Look, I'll go right around the table because we need to make a decision because, as Councillor Allwright said, it's going up fast.
So, Councillor Campbell, I'll start with you.
I personally would still attend, but there are a large number of older people involved, and I think that the actual recipient should be given a phone call today to see if they would be happy to have the event rescheduled in at a later date when things are more settled down.
Okay. Councillor Cassidy.
I feel passionate about Australia Day, but on this occasion, I think that we actually should cancel it. I won't be there. I don't want to risk getting COVID. So.
Can we reword cancel or postpone?
Reschedule, reschedule.
Yeah, whatever.
So that's Councillor.
Reschedule for next year, next January 26th.
Has to be Councillor Paul, what's your thoughts?
Reschedule.
Councillor Honor.
Reschedule.
Councillor Archer.
I don't agree with you, Mayor, really, either way.
That's not very good.
No, no, well, I can't attend, and so I don't feel as though I should be dictating policy for other people if, under those circumstances.
But if you could attend?
Yeah, I'd go ahead.
You'd go
ahead.
Councillor
Orr. Well, I reckon I'd keep going as planned, but if we do reschedule, we seem to be the mostly. Is there a way we could line up? Because remember we were talking, there's a couple of people who were getting their citizenship?
That's tomorrow. Tomorrow.
The one from Elgar?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
I was going to bring that up next, but anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say whether we could do it then, but because the discussion I had with you then was it would have to be another month. We couldn't make it work by now.
Katrina had to go through a lot to get that and the same tomorrow. Councillor Bailey, with the, just around the table whether we should reschedule the Australia Day event. Councillors, majority of councillors feel we should have it on another day, hopefully when it's less COVID. Up to you, do you think that we should reschedule the date,
day, or go? I'll go along with whatever the rest of the people want to do, Nick. And then go.
Just say respectfully.
Sounds like
it was a is it possible to at least have Jason raise the flag?
I can't hear what.
Is it possible to have Jason at least raise the flag, the Australian flag on Australia at the various council
sessions? Well, it should be possible. Well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 councillors to reschedule. Okay, so that goes 6 to reschedule, 2 not. So we reschedule.
I feel like the chair to contact both people and re-advise.
Yes, to re-advise and reschedule. We need to.
I think we just have to. We can't put a date on that.
To a later
date. To be advised. That's the word I want.
Wonderful. Here's a thought. If things have settled down. I don't know whether it fits. Tied with the Anzac Day. We have a lot more people and they can see the recipients of the community. So
I understand where you're coming from. Not sure whether it's a go or not. Can we have a little thoughts and see how things are going in the next month or so?
I think we want to move a second in that if we advise that it will be rescheduled to a later date.
Yes, did we have a move for that? I thought Councillor Cassidy and I thought it came for call. I did I dread that or not?
I thought we had a
move. Thank you, Chief Manager. No.
What else was I going to say I was going to mention?
No, you talked about it, becoming Australian citizenship.
Ah, thank you. Tomorrow there's a citizenship ceremony happening, but 16 people wanted to attend. Normally it's only a very small group of people. It's usually those recipients, partners and two family. So I think we should, in the future, cut back the limit to who goes to a citizenship ceremony. You know, 8, 10, what's your thoughts around the table? We haven't got anything in place or anything like that. Or you can leave it to the discretion of myself.
I just leave it open now, I don't know why.
I don't understand why you want to restrict people and want to come.
Well, it's raining, say it's snowing tomorrow, who knows? We've got to have 16 people.
Well, no, but that's because of the COVID situation. But normal situation, you have 1,000 people. Who cares?
I'm not talking about normal. I'm talking about now. Well, you know, if you have 1.5, 16.
So it's 35 in here, the sign says. So
1.5, 35.
There's a sign up there that says 35 people in here.
So do we stand 1.5?
We just leave it to 35 people in here.
With 1.5.
That's what it's been calculated at.
So. And then anyone over that has to stand outside.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Having been somebody that's gone through a citizenship ceremony, I think it should be left to the discretion of the person who's gone through the ceremony.
Yeah.
For myself, it was just myself, my wife, and my in-laws, and that was it. And the immigration got it, but I think we should just leave it open because it's a special day, it really is.
Yeah.
For people that go through it.
Oh, definitely.
Or get put through all the crap that immigration puts us through.
Yeah, it's just the COVID situation that I was trying to get a feel around the council. Okay. Tasmanian board selection.
I don't actually need to talk about it. So the councillors might know that I'm the council rep on Tas Water. So they've got a vacancy on the Sun's board, and there's been two nominations: Mayor Betty Thomas, who I don't know, and Mayor Paul Larita, who I don't know. So I have my view who we should vote for, but our mayor wanted me to bring this to the council rather than me just making a decision. So I make private view that whoever's read their notes, the info's in there, so I just need some direction. Which one ran? Which one?
So I'll go around the table and see the former Rita victims. I'll start with Councillor Paul. Why don't I pick on you?
If I can say something there, Beck Thomas seems to be, let's say, a rising councillor in the organisation of local government. Paul Arif has been a politician. So, is that...
I would have voted Anthony Archer myself. I'm absolutely indifferent.
Mm-hmm. Well,
who would you say?
I said I'm absolutely indifferent to either of them. I don't know either of them. Except
I know Paul Reed. I don't know Beck as yet, but I've known Paul Reed for some time.
Yeah.
I would support Paul, but so I need some kind of decision maker for Kathy.
I'll go for Paul, why not?
Kathy, bye.
Paula went in. Lena?
Councillor Campbell.
Well, I'm thinking back, Thomas, because the Glenorchy Council is closer to Bothwell Council, Central Highlands Council than the Kingborough Council. That's my...
Yep. Councillor Honour.
Paula Reed.
Councillor Archer.
Thomas.
Councillor... All right, did you say? No, you
didn't. No, I've got that, Thomas.
Ooh, that's good. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Who has a call?
Who has the casting motion? Oh, that was it. So it all comes back to me. I've got to make a decision. I've got to email him by tomorrow.
So what I have to go on?
Yeah. So how do you resolve this?
Well,
I thought I would probably ask what did your council have a motion? I don't know. Maybe the motion should be
just
the council's
own. Maybe it's up to me. Like, it was all sent to us. It was sent to all the representatives.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And like, it's only here because me and Adam want to...
Maybe there's a motion that Councillor Bellin is going to rip the council. All right, vote how he...
Yeah.
Well, the recommendation is that Central Island's only threat to vote for. And then it's got a blank as per the committee, so we just put in Beck Thomas, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, I would, if it was up to me, I would vote for Beck Thomas, so just put it in and I'll bring on tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know, it doesn't make good sense.
May I ask, in a situation like this, could we... perhaps extend voting rights to our general manager to, you know...
As much as we'd like to sometimes, it's not in the act.
Yeah, well...
See, once it used to be the mayor had the deciding vote, but I don't think that happens anymore either.
So maybe we should change the act.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's more of a situation.
Any council want to jump here?
Someone cross the floor or whatever.
Let me verify for us in instances like this where we've had a councillor seeking three months legitimately go out on a meeting. Did they, because they can get proxies on votes or
no.
Did they attend to those?
Yeah.
Right.
Someone check the wall for me. Someone might change.
Someone nominate Thomas or someone nominate someone then and see what. Just go around.
Oh, as soon as someone makes a decision.
You go for Thomas and someone seconded it and just put the motion in.
I'll nominate that, Thomas.
Someone
seconded
it.
Okay, Councillor
Paul
nominated.
So if it goes that way and if it gets 4-4, what happens then?
It's still. You've got to.
I've only got 24% left on my
So for the motion and against the motion, we have to put in there.
For the motion? Is there any against the motion?
Okay. No, again.
Was there any against the motion?
Everyone.
Kerry.
So you've got a big talk, so I'll do that. I'll deal with that.
You're
on
the
left
hand side.
How many votes are there? Is there many councils?
Every council gets a vote.
Okay, then there's a vote. Upgrade power supply of barbecue shed at the Hamilton Showgrounds. Recommendation of council redevelopment to the cable location cost of the power supply upgrade at barbecue shed, Hamilton Showgrounds. Move it, please.
And the power supply. The cable location is getting someone in to identify where the cables are. And then there was the cost of.
Is it going to be very expensive?
I think it'll be about $2,000 or $3,000.
They asked for. It's a confusing letter because they've asked for. They said they're going to do the labouring themselves, but they've asked for $5,000, which $1,800 is the install. So I think we give them, if we're going to give, we give them the $3,000 for materials, they said the rest will be covered. But I've got some concerns as to whether it actually is on council land or not, because there are some ambiguous titles. And I just need to be sure that barbecue area fits on the council property.
It's where the shed is, isn't it? Where they put that new shed up, where they...
Yeah, that should be on council property there. Yeah.
We need to see, because I know there's several buildings there that aren't. And that's where they verge. And so I would like to see council $25,000 towards the adjoining land. So I think we need a clarification of that, that it is on council property, that it is.
Didn't you say it was on council property?
Yeah.
Do you think we should be sure before?
Well, I'm asking Council Lady to be sure.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, well.
But he's not a surveyor.
I know that there was a number of
problems. I am not a surveyor, no, but...
Well, the shed was put up there.
I think it was put up there as... That's been council property, yes. When that went up, it was on council property.
But there are a couple of buildings that aren't.
Have you heard some torture about that business anyway?
Yeah, nothing more has happened with that. But can we move a motion that we provide them with $3,000 towards the supply of the power on the condition that there is confirmation that the barbecue shed is on council-owned property?
Yeah, that's good. Perfect.
That's good. Yep.
Sounds good.
I'll second that.
So we'll move Councillor Campbell, second by Councillor Bailey, $3,000 in confirmation that they're not among the council.
Was that the whole 3,216? Was that paying all the material?
Well, there was some, wasn't there some question over
there? There was 3,216 for the materials and 1,800 for the labour, and they had said that the electrician will provide the labour. I think Brett Reef is going to do the trench work, monetary work for them. And it does not include cable location service. So
what was it? 3,216. That sounds about right. We've done one recently on the property, and it was about that.
So we're giving them the funds to organise the rooms.
Yeah, on the consideration that it is confirmed council property.
Okay, so that was moved by Councillor Campbell.
Yes.
And second by Councillor Bailey.
Yeah.
Those for that motion? Is there any against it? That's carried. Okay. Metal artwork at Gretna. As you know, this has been through a survey where people took part in the survey. The survey was undertaken inviting the community to participate in deciding that the location for the installation of the Gretna War Memorial was still awaiting soldiers. The results from the community survey are 1, a soldier either side at the bottom of the entrance, 8 votes. 2, a soldier either side at the bottom of the steps, 7 votes. 3, a soldier either side at the top of the steps, 7 votes. 4, a soldier either side of the memorial, no votes. So number 8 gets it, so we go ahead with number 8. Put on the motion for that. Councillor Honour, Councillor Orr. Okay. Move on a second account. All right, could those for the motion? Any against the motion? Okay. Media policy. These policies are coming up like weeds. Could I have a regular note for the recommendation of the media policy? Campbell, Councillor Honour, those four against, carried. The dust policy, the mover, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Bailey. Four against, that is carried. Policy for payment of council's expenses, mover, please. Councillor Four, seconder, Councillor Honour. Four against, carried.
One of these policies got a heap of typos in it. It all refers back to the grading of snow policy. Did you notice that?
It's got all those red marks on it. I think when Evan's copied it over, he's copied the track.
I'll try and find which one.
Just to get out and check his typos.
Yeah.
I don't think they're typos.
Oh, it's not really a typo, it's just got it on the wrong page. Copied and pasted the wrong page on the bottom.
Oh,
right. Yep. So it says, because at the bottom of each page, it says okay. Identifies the policy that page refers to, but policy, shows sort of the grading of snow policy.
Oh,
yeah. So I'll find it.
Council considers matters only supplementary. We have done any other business of council. Thank you very much, councillors. I now close the meeting at 1 o'clock.